Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Bamidbar, in the desert. We're starting the portion of this week at the desert, and the whole book is going to be about the desert. You notice that in Hebrew it's desert, and in English it's numbers. We'll talk about it in a second, but I just want to start by emphasizing something about the name of the book and the name of the portion. In the desert. Quite an interesting name to call a portion in a book. Why the desert takes such an important place in the journey of the people of Israel? I mean, think about it this way. Even in the book of Genesis, when you imagine the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you imagine this like a desert-like area. You go to Beersheba today and you see what you imagine. This is a place that is deserted. This is a place that is not settled. But I'm not talking about an area that there are some people around you. I'm talking about the desert. No man land. It's a place where it really doesn't exist. It's a place you go when you're out there. You can't even recognize one hill of another. Just, you know, sand goes from place to place. And those cactuses are floating around like the Wild West. Why was it so important to put such an emphasis on the desert? And more than that, why is the Torah given to the people of Israel? Why do we receive it in the desert? So, our commentaries, I talk about it a lot, and they talk about several issues and elements to explain it. Number one is the fact that we need to remember that there is the culture of the desert and there is the culture of home. When we are reading the Torah and all the rituals, we need to remember and understand this. There are the way you act at your home and the way you act outside. The truth is, nobody can judge you other than God of the way you act at your home. And the question always needs to be, and the emphasis is, how do you treat others? Meaning, what is the way you're going to treat the surrounding area? So in that way, the desert represents the extreme outside. It represents the place which is like no man's land. And you would think that just like the cultures of the deserts, like Bedouins and others, who live in the desert and become those vicious people who steal water and resources from one another, as they do till this day, the desert would make a people that will act just like the laws of the desert, when the strong person is the one that gives the word and decides things. The Torah emphasized that the rituals and the 613 commands are in the desert, even when you are nobody is around you. You're not at your home. Nobody will judge you. You can naturally go with the acts of the desert. No, we will show you how to act. We will ask you certain ways not to damage others and not to do a mess and the way you treat others. So number one is the fact that you are there in the desert. Learn from that the way to behave. You are not in the desert anymore. More than that, living in the desert and all the challenges that are going to happen in the desert are going to be remembered by Hashem, by God. In the book of Jeremiah, the famous verse that says, I will remember when you went and you walked after me in the desert, in an unplanned land. The desert represents a challenge of life. And if we would be chosen and given out of Egypt to the luxurious land of wherever, you would say it's just like, you know, living life, improving life. But no. God took us to the challenge of the desert with no water, with no food, and all the things we know from the book to tell you that even in the darkest time, we followed God and we were there even in the times that nobody else would stay and would say, as the verses puts in the mouth of others, we should have stayed in Egypt. Why God brought us to this land to kill us, to this desert to kill us. And in the midst of that, the story of the difference between desert and the numbers connects about why do we count the people of Israel. So number one, of course, is that we are continuing the journey to Israel and we need to know who is going to get what. But the second is that really you count something you love. And the story is that the famous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the leader of the Chabad movement, he would spend every Sunday from morning till nighttime standing and giving dollar bills to people to donate for tzedakah as charity. And everybody asked him, how can you do that all day? And he said as follows, if you are counting diamonds, would you be tired from doing that? When God counts his people, counts the people of Israel, it's just like counting diamonds. And this is something he always wanted to do. Later in the books of Samuel, we will see that it's not good it's for human, for kings to count it. But when it comes from Hashem, from God, it's different. The Midrash takes the element of the deserts and makes it even more centered in the process of receiving the Torah. This book, the desert, is where we're going to receive the Torah. Mount Sinai is going to be exposed to us, and that's going to be the first encounter that we waited for in the book of Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. When will we receive it? The story of the desert is going to bring us back to the times of receiving it. And the Maharal points out that the three elements we're going to see and encounter in this journey is the story of course, the desert, the story of water. There is water, there's no water, and there's fire. Fire in the Mount Sinai, especially when we receive the Torah, there's a connection to the fire there. It says that all of the mountains was smoke and fire. So Amaral takes it and emphasizes it in a different way that it can be explained as the answer to the challenge most people have with the rituals of the Torah, with spirituality. What are the three things that make people not connected or people far and distant from receiving the wisdom of the Torah of God? The number one, the most important, simple one, very, very common, is they're too poor. They're poor. They don't have the time, the energy. They have other things in their mind. They need to bring table, you know, food to the table. So it's being poor. It limits us. We cannot connect. We cannot go to this spiritual journey. And of course, the other side is being too rich. When you have too wealth, too much wealth, you have businesses here, business there. I have no time. I'm on a flight. I have meetings. I have no patience or ability to concentrate in this spirituality world. And of course, the third element is the desires. People have a lot of desires. They're being drawn to different things. Most of it very negative. But this is what life brings you. You know, we're surrounded by those desires, and it, you know, takes me from the inside. The Maharal explains how those three elements are corresponding this. Being poor, this is why it's in the desert. Tell you, there's nothing here, there was nothing around here, you can possess any of it. It's all there, every person can come and grab it. Even the poor people who has nothing, that's why it's the desert. The rich, the money, represented by the water, the overflowing, flowing, there's like more and more water, it's everywhere. And that's, again, this is not an excuse. You can take the rock and bring water out of it. And the water cannot always be sweet. There is an element of time here that is consuming. But what's more important, life or the water or the rich and money? And the third element, of course, is like fire, the desires that burn you, and they're taking you and they're coming from the inside just like flames. The Maharal explained those three elements are corresponded by the desert, the fire, and the water. These are not excuses. It's all there for you to go and grab. When we live in this world and there are limitations from us receiving it, the excuses do not exist. Look where we received the Torah. Look at where it's all started. In the desert, there was nothing around us. It's for you to grab. Just go and take it. Everybody can get it. Everybody can get some layers of it. And this is how we need to start the journey of the book of Leviticus, of Numbers, in the desert, living with the journey and understanding how all of us have a part of it, and all of us, just like the desert, we can take an empty slot and be reconnecting with the Bible. Shabbat Shalom.